Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Yeah, this was really a unique experience for me, Nancy. I mean, as you pointed out, I've been interviewed on radio podcasts many times, and this was a unique experience because we really delved into the entrepreneurial process and the challenges. You know, something that you and I talked about today that some listening entrepreneur could hear that would lead them maybe to avoid certain pitfalls, make the right decisions. You did a really great job. And yeah, so thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. In the studio today is David Mann.
Hello, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Ready for a second conversation. We've been really unpacking kind of stories.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
The definition of story, your story.
There's more to unpack where that came from.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into it in a second. And if you're in transition and you really want to understand the level of the way in which you are running your business in a unique way, or you're in a big, really big transition and you want to go to the depth of understanding what that means and the direction that you want to go to, call me right away, 1-612-804-8920. And Sally Doyle is today's podcast sponsor. So go ahead and schedule a profit analysis with Sally for $149. Take charge of your money life. Sally Doyle is the founder of Absolute Business Solutions. She's a QuickBooks expert, and you can always use a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. So you are freed up to do the work that you're good at and keep leading and sleep more soundly as a result of knowing that you've got this great trustworthy bookkeeper. Sally Doyle, profit strategist, bookkeeper, and innovative thinker at Business Absolute Business Solutions. You can reach her at 1-651-208-8151. Now let's get on to David's background. He brings his unique array of talents to every engagement. For over a decade, he has helped business leaders grow their companies and lawyers win cases, all by using language and performance techniques he has mastered as a professional theater artist. For the first 20 years of David's career, he wrote, directed, and performed live theater at internationally recognized institutions such as the Guthrie Children's Theater Company and Great River Shakespeare Festival. In that time, he learned the art of connecting with an audience. He learned how precise language needs to have an impact. He learned how a dynamic stage presence is a combination of confidence and skill. And he learned how to teach those skills to other people so they can connect with audiences too. Then he discovered that messaging for marketing, sales, internal communication, and legal persuasion are all versions of the same thing, using words and delivery to engage people. David has spent the past 15 years honing this craft. He has spoken nationwide at Fortune 500 companies. He has clarified messaging and presentation for a wide range of industries. This includes finance, construction, medical devices, airlines, strategic planning, and IT. As a legal storytelling specialist, he has helped lawyers across the country recover millions for their clients in cases such as securities fraud, medical malpractice, wrongful death, defamation, and many more. He's on the adjunct faculty of Loyola School of Law in Chicago and the National Institute for Trial Advocacy. David is based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he owns A Simple Message. So you can go to asimplemessage.com or reach him at 1-612-756-0200 and get your message simplified. How's that?
That's just great. I can't believe I did all that stuff, actually.
I know, right? You're just exhausted hearing about
it.
Oh,
yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, you have done a ton. Well, we're talking today about story messaging ideas. And at the tail end of our first conversation, we really got into the word passion.
Yes.
And all the books and everything that's around people discovering their passion. And there's some myths that you've discovered around it.
Well, yeah, I think that it's very, very oversimplified to sort of say, you know, if you hate what you're doing professionally, follow your passion and everything will work out. Or, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. What I've noticed is that though that is occasionally true, when you scratch the surface on stories of people who have actually appear to have made that work for themselves, it's a lot more complicated and there's a lot more trial and error. And actually probably what they're doing that is paying the money is maybe not what they started out thinking their passion was going to be.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as just like, oh, well, I'm a genius songwriter, so I'm going to write a couple of songs and make $1 million, which is somebody's story, but not many.
Right.
It's usually a rockier path than that.
Yeah, and even those who are highly talented, I mean, like Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. I mean, she, you know, everyone's life work, if you turn your passion and you look at it into, this is my life work,
yeah.
You know, that people aren't using the term career anymore.
Right.
Because
right.
It confines people,
yeah.
And puts them in a box and, you know, about, well, this is my career and this is what I've done for 50 years and that's my story.
The fallacy on the thing, I think, really is when you look at someone like Taylor Swift, if you look at somebody who is a professional superstar, you know, songwriter, well, their passion, the thing they like to do, happens to also correspond with a profession that can pay you a huge amount of money. So if you get everything right and you do the thing and then you get a manager and your timing is right,
you have the right people around you.
There is a possibility in that particular type of service, you know, which essentially it is, producing a song, for money to be made. The thing is, that doesn't apply to every single avenue you could choose. There are professions that are passion driven that don't have a huge paycheck at the end of it.
Yeah.
So if you limit only what you're going to do to ones that are going to make you rich, well, then you're probably going to be compromising passion somewhere.
Yeah.
If you really want to follow your passion, be open to any possibility for how it's going to play out in terms of money. Which is my thing was, you know, for a very long time and still to some degree is theater. And I'd really love doing it, but I don't expect it to pay money, not much. And when I had to branch out and do other things, because I had a family and I had more responsibility financially.
Got two young kids.
I had to figure out something to do with that was not going to be all about me and my passion. It was going to have to be about me and my passion to a degree, but it had to have money at the other end of it. And so I tried some things for a while that I felt I actually was successful in making money at, but it really wasn't driven. And this is all entrepreneur stuff too. I never really worked for anybody else. I could do it. I could make the money, but I just didn't care. A lot of the speaking, now when I speak, I really care. But for a while, I was kind of coming up with stuff to say in keynotes that they'd pay to hear, but it really wasn't coming from me, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to really get back in and go, what's really driving me here? And that's how, like we talked about last time, I zeroed in on it being about messaging, about words for effect on an audience, connecting them.
Yeah.
And I make sure to always mention to your audience and anybody else I'm talking to, it doesn't have to always take the form of literally standing in front of someone and giving a presentation.
Yeah.
Literally standing on a stage and giving a speech. I have done it that way, and that's one of the ways. But if you think about it, if someone reads perfectly crafted language on your website, perfectly crafted language in your maybe your print collateral that is handed them on a sales presentation or something, that's also a version of a performance. It's like you have crafted it, there are words, you want an effect, an ad that works, you know? And all of that should be and can be aligned around a central identity message that reaches that audience. And then it's a matter of replicating that message in the different formats so that it carries the same central concept.
you have a concept about weemiasis.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. That's the word I made up that I got to trademark fast here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, mm-hmm. you started trademarking by this conversation.
Yes, okay, yes. There it is.
Yes.
So the weemiasis, I say, what are the problems people have with their marketing of their company? And the number one problem is weemiasis.
Yes.
And so you say, what is that? It sounds like a word, but I've never heard that word. Well, that is the problem of whenever your audience, your potential customer, your client encounters your work, which may be live or it may be on a website or some other way, what they're getting is we, me, I, and us. We value this. We produce that. I have a long history of that. My passion is this and my core values and our, all that stuff is interesting as the second thing or second or third or fourth thing that maybe they encounter you with you. But we all are customers as well as business providers. When we are in the shoes of a customer, do we really care about if we're looking at a website about all about that person or that company's background? Not really. The first thing we care about is, what do you have to do for me?
Yeah.
Do you have what I need?
Yeah.
As soon as that's satisfied, we might then say, so tell me about you. Second, you know?
Yeah. But I see that like in networking environments where we're taught.
Yeah.
We're actually taught by networking organizations. This is the way to introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about the weemiasis.
Yeah. But it doesn't work. There's a lot of things that are taught all the time that don't work.
Yeah.
You know, they're taught because they are familiar and we know about them because we've seen a million other people do it. So we say, well, that must be the correct way to do it. But we all know that when you're at a networking event and everyone stands up and says, I do this and we do that and we provide this and we do that. Well, if there are three people in the room, you can track all that. If there's 30 that do that, you've stopped listening after three or four of them.
Right.
You don't know what anybody does anymore because it just all kind of sounds the same, especially if the language is really generic. Whether it's in a networking thing or something that you read, we provide business solutions to increase your bottom line and strengthen your team. Like, how many times have we heard that, pretty much that exact sentence?
Yeah.
And you go, I have no idea what you do, why it matters, or why in the world I should care about it, you know?
Yeah. What's a way that a person could craft their explanation of how they work with people?
Well,
Or what they sell.
When I work with people, I get into a real depth with them to try to articulate who they really are as a company. Every company is actually quite different from the next one. When you start asking deeper, more probing questions, there are no two that are exactly the same. However, on the surface, a lot of them look exactly the same. All IT companies are, well, we have IT solutions to make everything run better, you know? So the first—
And the assumption, too, is like you know what that means.
Right, right, right. We are experts at talking to ourselves. We're experts at talking to, assuming that the audience has the exact same vocabulary and knowledge that we have.
Yeah.
So if you're only speaking to yourself, in a sense, you're speaking to a very, very tiny, limited amount of audience. So in crafting your message to really reach people, step one is knowing who you are and what you actually have to offer. And that's harder than it sounds like it is to mine that out and figure out that exact thing. Then the next step is putting it into succinct and clear language that is good language that's going to actually capture the truth, be understandable by the audience, and not just say the same thing everybody's saying.
Because what are the couple of questions that people have kind of lingering in their mind about you or about anyone introducing themselves?
That's this interesting little thing about what it appears to be and what it really is. So when you hear somebody do a sales presentation or when you hear somebody do networking or stand up and talk or go to their website, the unspoken question that seems to be in the air is, who are you?
Yeah.
And so since it's an unspoken question, we tend to answer this without it really being asked. So we start by saying, I am a service provider of a particular service that has these forms and I have all these things that I can do and look at me, this is what I do. Because you are, in a sense, answering the question of who are you?
Yeah.
But the question is not really who are you? The question is, what do you do for me? Will you solve my problem? And so that's the real question that appears to look like, who are you? So if you answer the real question, then you might say things like, professional, like mine is something like, professional service providers have a hard time talking about what they do. They get confused and their message becomes blurry and unappealing. Using storytelling techniques that work for artists and lawyers, as well as business leaders all over the place, I help them craft a simple and clear message to get more customers.
Boom.
You know, something like that is the first half of that is about you, or it's about the customer that I have identified as my ideal customer, professional service providers.
Yeah.
That's kind of my perfect, you know, thing. And I say, this is a problem that I've seen a lot, which is, they have a hard time explaining what they do and it's not clear and they use language that, you know. So in the space of one or two sentences, hopefully the heads are nodding going, oh my God, how does he know that? Yeah, that really is me. I have that problem.
Right.
And then the next couple—
And I never wanted to say that directly, but he addressed it. So now we can talk about it.
He just said it like that. And the next sentence then is, how I solve that problem, what I solve and how I solve it. Really succinct and tight in language, though, using story techniques that work for artists and lawyers. I help people clarify and simplify their message. And that's one of many ways you can do that, but that's basically the best format to use for that.
So and you that's can a good place to start if people are in transition and they're reshaping their message.
Yeah. Start by just thinking, what does the audience that I'm looking for struggle with that is a struggle that's independent of me? This is another thing. When I work with businesses, I'll say, so who's your customer? What are they struggling with? Or what do they want? Or what's their obstacle? And they'll say things like, well, what they want is a smooth process with us that it doesn't cost very much or something. And I'm like, no, they don't wake up in the morning thinking about you. Their problem is not you. Their problem is something else, you know, that they're looking to really do. You're going to help them on that journey. If you can capture all that stuff in a little bit of language, they're going to go, yeah, somehow this is for me.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. That's a good place to start and revisit and get rid of the generic messaging.
The generic is that's, I think, it, just for what I offer. That's one of the things that I really have come more and more around to priding myself on being able to do. I think largely because of my background in theater, where language is so specific and the vocabulary is so vast. If you work with Shakespeare or something, you're working with some really colorful and specific words and language. I'm always in that territory. A lot of times people don't even realize how generic their message is.
Yeah.
Until I point it out and say, everyone's using the same word. If I hear one more company talk about solutions, I'm going to just jump out a window. I mean, it's like, it doesn't mean anything independent of a specific problem. You can't just say, we offer solutions.
Yeah.
To what? But language gets worn out. Words like solutions or words like leverage or, you know, sort of made up words like synergy and all that stuff, they just have no meaning anymore.
Yeah. And so getting around that and reshaping your language.
Yeah, yeah.
To get at the heart of what your message is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you were working with me, where would you start?
Well, I would, as I start with everybody, I would start in the, I sort of have a 2 to sometimes 3 session process where I start asking a lot of questions. The place I really, well, after asking things like, what would you like to achieve with this? The first thing I really ask is, who is your audience? And I make it about an audience as though it's a performance for an audience, even though it isn't. Who are they? So in other words, who's your ideal customer? How do they think?
Yeah.
Who is specifically, who are you in front of when the message is delivered, either in front of physically or some other way? And we really delve into exactly who that person is and what their mindset is, what their psychology is. And you know this from having customers. You know basically who you like to talk to and how they think.
Yeah.
And then we talk about what are they wrestling with, struggling with, and unable to achieve in their life or their business, independent of you. And then we zero in on what that is and then go, what's the obstacle? And then how are you uniquely poised to get at that? And that usually, that conversation can take hours to get the best stuff.
So in your 2 to 3 session process, I mean, that's a big outcome to get to in 2 to 3 conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you charge?
What do I charge? Didn't know we were going to get into that.
Well, hey, I mean, if you want to put a range out there, I think the audience, you know, would like to know.
Here's what I do. The first
speaking of money, money's separate from art.
Yes, money is separate from art. The first piece of this, which is a combination of 2 or 3 half-day sessions with leadership and invested people, including my study and research of the company going into that, and including me writing up all of that, what we've talked about, into succinct, sort of like not just notes, but like it's all kind of digested notes.
I like that, digested notes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of thought through and reconceptualized. And this will usually produce, I can't guarantee like a tagline that's going to, I mean, no one can really guarantee that. What I can get everyone to, though, is the central concept of what your business is reflected in language. Mm. So sometimes it is 5 or 6 sentences that happen to pop out of people's mouths while we were just not trying to make that happen. Sometimes it's a very tightly crafted thing I will work out, and we may say, okay, we have these 8 sentences that all kind of, what do we want most, you know?
Yeah.
And we get all that. I also do a map of where your message currently is, how your customer journey, where are they encountering you first? Where do they go second? Where do they go third? And where does it become a closed sale? So it's similar for most professional services, but there's always different, slightly different things. We look at all that and go, what message are they getting when, and how solid is that message, and how aligned is that message with what we talked about today or in the sessions on what your identity is? And usually it's all misaligned.
Yeah. Well, and that would be so important too for the staff.
Yeah.
To all be giving the same messages and know how to talk.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. So in the we'll call it the 3 session time that sort of ends up being 2 parts, you know, there is generation of the identity concept. There is a reflection of your current customer and how they think. There's a map of your customer journey and where the gaps are, where the message is not strong. And then there is language that is associated with this core message that then you can use in marketing going forward. That whole thing can just stop there. Or based on the map, we then look at a future engagement that is customized to every client I work with that says, well, what you need is like work on the website, the language, the messaging on the website. You need your sales presentation strengthened, and that guy who runs it, whatever, wants to do a thought leader presentation at this upcoming conference. So that package is going to be another thing.
I see.
The first package is $6,500. So that first piece is just what all of that is produced for that.
Yeah.
And then we go forward into whatever it looks like. I also do things like training of the sales team on the messaging or the sales presentation.
Do you take that messaging and break it down for the salespeople? Like, you know, you need 7 ways in which you're communicating with potential people before they...
Well, if that applies, sure, yeah. If they have this company I just worked with last week, that's kind of was something that came up, was that they... I mean, here's a, I won't, I have to be, there's certain proprietary stuff, and this is still a project in progress, and so I can't be specific about anything. I'm doing that on purpose. But what I can say, because this may apply
I'm glad, because I don't want you to be generic.
Yeah, I mean, what I can say, which could apply to some of your audience, is that they have, we went into the process believing that there was sort of one type of customer, because often there is, but we kept pulling at the threads and going, like, as soon as we would say, well, this is what the customer is going to, what's going to resonate with them, someone at the table who works with the sales, works a lot in sales, goes, yeah, but that's not really gonna. And they go, yes, it does. No, it doesn't. We're pulling and pulling and pulling until I said, I think we actually have two different types of customers. You have the owners, and then you have the managers that the sales team is mainly in contact with. Why don't we craft two separate types of language that reach these two separate mindsets?
Yeah.
Then the sales, you were talking about, the sales team can then, we ended up coming up with a third one too, but that's another story. The sales team can go in going, sensing who am I talking to and what's their mindset, and then shift the message slightly to speak in language that's going to resonate there. And we work all that out.
Yeah.
And then we can, at a later date, train them on being really proficient at it.
Yeah. That's amazing. You must work very efficiently to get it into 2 to 3 sessions.
I am. But I'm also, and this is really the most challenging thing that I do in this work, is keeping everything on track time-wise while also allowing it to be absolutely random.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. What anybody wants to talk about right now is okay. But I'm the whole time calculating, we need to make sure to hit these 8 things at some point. It just doesn't have to follow a linear order.
Right.
It's very much like working on a play. You have to keep it in on the rehearsal schedule.
Right.
But you cannot dictate every minute of the rehearsal or you're going to kill the art.
So knowing where in the time frame or the parameters around it, where the flexibility is.
Yep. It's boundaries create freedom. If you don't have any boundaries, you're not free. And if you have too tight boundaries, then you're not free. But it's just a nice border around the edge.
Yeah.
And then everybody can play. And then the play master says, we are now stopping this play and we're moving to that play.
Right. It sounds like you do all of that really, really well.
I try to.
So the message that I was thinking that you have said about where clarity leads.
Yeah.
I thought was really, it just really resonated with me. So clarity leads to empathy, leads to action.
That is correct.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
Did you want to explain that?
That's what I've started. I now start my presentations with that slide that does that. Clarity leads to empathy, leads to action. What we want is action. What we want ultimately is a closed sale or some kind of engagement of the customer, right?
Yeah.
The ham-handed sort of, salesperson goes in and goes, I want you to do a thing. Well, okay, they might not understand what you're offering them and they might not care. So if they must understand first, they must understand what your service is offering them. So a lot of times right there, that's where the sale's killed. They don't understand it. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
It's in language that is too specific to a particular niche or whatever, or just stupid nonsense business language that doesn't speak anything. Or it's not clear how it affects them. So clarity, make it clear, make it simple. Then make it in language that allows them to care about it.
Mm.
So it speaks to something that is hot for them, that they need, that they want, that they wrestle with. So clarity leads to empathy, them caring about this.
And you then, showing that you care about their thing.
Yeah, you're showing that you care about them and you are allowing them to care about the subject at hand, whatever we're trying to work out together.
Yes.
Then you can't guarantee action, but then you are set up for action to happen. Until you do the first two pieces, though, you're never going to get there. That's the one thing I developed that actually came out of my work with lawyers. Because I was like, you want the jury to vote a certain way, but you're not giving them any of the tools to do that. By just loading them up with testimony and evidence.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. There's a logical argument. Come on, vote. Yeah. Not guilty, guilty, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I've laid it out there. You figure it out.
Yeah. And that is, I learned, like, that's really, really prevalent with a lot of businesses. They go, I've laid out a logical reason for you to engage with us. Right. Why aren't you?
Right.
You know?
Forgetting that we're human feeling beings.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been a delight. I think you've given the audience a lot of ideas about messaging.
Thank you, yes.
And crafting a story, their story, with the customer in mind.
With the customer in mind. That's the key. Yep.
Yeah, right. All right. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks, well, Mike Cabeas. Oh, you want to say
yes,
something?
Thank you, Nancy. It's really been a great talk.
Thank you. And Mike Cabeas, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. We'll see you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor mini lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at WeMentor.com or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.